It means so much to me, and I just thank you for your love for me. And I'm just going to take my time here and just obey the Spirit of the Lord. How many wants me to do that? Praise God, to obey God. Just want to tell you about Scott Kearley, who passed away, as all of you know. And he's rejoicing with the Lord today. He's got a brand new body. And I remember him saying, he told his family, told me, he says, "I'm ready. I'm ready to see the Lord. I'm ready to see God." So that's my question to you this morning. Are you ready to see the Lord? Do you know in your heart, in the depth of your heart, are you ready to see God? It's a valid question, isn't it? And I know a lot of people don't like to talk about that, about the, you know, the unknown. They call it the unknown. And they get they kind of avoid that, because they don't like to think about the afterlife, which I really don't like to say afterlife, because for a Christian, for a believer, there's not a afterlife. Once you receive eternal life, it's present, it's now, it's forever. You just make a transition. But a lot of people try to avoid the subject because it could be discomforting to them. But for the believer, it should be a comfort to us, and it should bring us hope. And history shows us that the ones who live for eternity have greater assurance than those who live for the now. We live for eternity, and we have an eternal perspective. Many of us talk about maximizing our life now, but the Bible says we should live for the world to come, and we should live for heaven, and we should live for God. And the only sure way we know anything about the afterlife is through what the Bible says. That's the only sure way. And we don't even have a full understanding of those realities. And if y'all know the hymn where it says we'll understand it better by and by. And in 1 Corinthians 13:12, it says that we see through a glass dimly or darkly. So there are some things that we don't understand, and we will understand it better by and by. But today I want to give you just a broad outline of God's plan for our lives, and that we can have eternal life with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We don't have an intimate knowledge of all the minute details when we pass from this world into heaven, but we can have an intimate knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we can have an intimate knowledge with the Spirit of God. The reason why some people can be afraid and they can live in fear is because they're unfamiliar with it. And they haven't based their hope in the Word of God, and maybe haven't been anchored in God's Word. But we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to live in fear. We can live in hope of God's Word. We can live in hope of God's mercy and His grace. And as believers, if you're saved, you can have this great assurance in your life, this full assurance, and you don't have to live in fear because you have love that roots that fear out. And I'm sure that most of you, all of you, would agree with me here this morning that having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is the most important thing ever. Amen. It's about a relationship, not religion. Amen? It's about a relationship. So today I'm going to give you a broad outline of what God's plan is for us. But one issue I want to address is that some people believe, and when it comes to the issue of predestination, that some people believe that God believes that God is just destined for some to be lost, and that God has destined for some to be saved. I'm just going to give you three of many scriptures that refute that belief. And so if you want to turn with me, and I don't know if Dennis has the scriptures on the screen, I believe he does, to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Peter says this. He says, The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. He's patient. Everybody say patient. But He's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So that verse right there tells us that God's desire is for us all to be saved, for us all to be with Him. So the point here is, God doesn't create you to be lost. Why would He create someone to be lost? God does not destine some people to be lost and some people to be saved. God's desire and God's heart is for all to be saved. But it's our responsibility to respond in faith to the provision of grace that God has for us. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, we have another verse here that shows us. Paul says this, "However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life." Go to the next verse. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, here's another verse. "Who desires," everybody say desires, "who desires all men," everyone, "to be" what? Saved. So we have to throw that belief out of the water right there. God does not destine people to be lost. Can I get an amen? Amen. So he desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. It's never God's will for people to be lost. You say, "Pastor, that sounds really simple." It's supposed to be simple. We're supposed to understand this. And then you say, "Well, what about people who have never heard the gospel?" Well, let's read Romans chapter 1. What about people who have never heard the gospel, okay? "Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them." Next verse. "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen." So there's the evidence. "Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without" what? So I am here, and I could tell you through the backing of the scripture, through the backing of the word of God, that we are all without excuse. So when it comes time for us to stand before God, we all had a chance in order to come to God in repentance. Amen. Go to the next verse there, Dennis, in Job. "But now ask the animals, the beast, and they will teach you." Look at that. Creation even teaches us. "And the birds of the air, and they will tell you." They will tell you. And I can show you through scripture that the gospel will be preached in all the world, and then the end will come. Next verse, Matthew 24. "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." So we know through scripture that all will be without excuse. Everyone will have a chance. Everyone will know about the gospel. Everyone will know through creation and through the preaching of the gospel. You say, "Well, how can you say that, Pastor?" Because the word of God says it. And so I'm here to tell you this morning that God does not create anybody to be lost. Now, I'm going to address this issue just a little bit more. It is an issue with some people because they think that God doesn't love them, that God doesn't have a plan for them, that God doesn't have a purpose for them, and they think they are destined, they are meant to be lost. Listen, God does not create somebody. He does not put you in this world for no reason, for no purpose. He puts you in this world to work for him. Listen, I don't care what kind of background you have. I don't care where you came from. I don't care what kind of sins you committed. I don't care where, whatever it is, background, whatever. God has a plan for you. He told Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, he says, "Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I ordained you to be a prophet among the nations." And I'm here to tell you this morning that God has ordained you. He's chosen you. He's elected you. And don't you think for one minute, don't you think for one second that God doesn't have a plan for you? He didn't create you to be lost. He didn't create you to be lost out wandering, roaming. He created you so he could have a relationship with you. Listen, he is here for you. He is here to work in you and through you. And don't think for one minute that you should look down on yourself or that God looks down on you, because God didn't create you to live a low life. He created you to live a life that's pleasing to him. Listen, God loves you. Listen, God's love is not based on what you do or don't do. His love is based on who he is. That's his nature. And if you'll focus on that love that he has for you, you will not walk in fear. Amen, church? Amen. You will not walk in fear. And so secondly, God created you to be with him. Can we read 2 Corinthians chapter 5? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been found clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life, eternal life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Let's just put it in park right there. The Spirit as a guarantee. Okay, you hear this all the time by salespeople. Guaranteed. I'll give you a guarantee. If this product is not satisfactory to you, we will give you this $19.95 back as a guarantee, right? Well, listen, there is no ifs, ands, or buts with this. God says, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit as a down payment of your inheritance in heaven. And we all know what earnest is. We all know what a down payment is. And there's another verse in the Bible where it says that God has given us His Spirit as a guarantee, as an earnest, as a down payment of our inheritance to let us know that we don't have to live in fear, that He's going to give us a little taste of what is to come. And I'm here to tell you that we've had really good services and we've had great encounters with the Lord here at this church and in our personal lives. But I'm here to tell you that you've not even come close to what is to come that we are going to see in heaven. Amen, church. Amen. Next verse. So we are always confident. Now that word confident there, it puts out a lot of guesswork, doesn't it? There's no guesswork to this. We don't have to have a guesstimate. Well, I hope I make it to heaven. I hope I'm right. Look, so we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Hallelujah. We are confident. He says it again. We are confident. Yes, well pleased. Rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Praise the Lord. And there is a teaching out there that says, When you take your last breath, when you pass away, you're just there. You're just there in the grave, and you just got to wait until the resurrection. Listen, but the Bible says that when we take our last breath, when that time comes, our spirit is released and going back to God. Hallelujah. And so a lot of people think, well, I just don't know. We just have to stay there in the grave. Listen, when you go to that's not you going to the grave. It's not you. It's not you going to the grave. Listen, when you take your last breath, your spirit goes to God. You want to know something else? Your spirit is who you are. The body is not who you are. This is just a shell. Can I get an amen? Isn't it interesting we focus more on the shell rather than us? Right? Look in the mirror. Got to have that mirror, right? Got to have the mirror. It's all about the shell. It's all about the body. And we tend to overlook the shell and or overlook the spirit. We just focus on the outer covering, don't we? On the body. But our spirit is really who we are. We are spiritual beings just having a short, temporary human experience. That's all we are spiritual beings. And in Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, if you don't mind going to that next verse, Dennis. He says, for I am hard pressed. This is what Paul said. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Now, Paul, he was a missionary. He preached. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And this man says, in the verse before that, he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now, I don't know about y'all, but you don't hear too many people saying that. To die is gain? To live as Christ and to die as gain. You don't hear too many people saying that. But Paul, being so radical in this gospel, that he's so confident, that he has the audacity to say, you know what? Being with Christ and to depart from this sinful world is a whole lot better. It is a whole lot better. And I'm here to tell you that when you trust in God and you put your faith in God and you live for eternity and not for the now, not for fame, not for anything else, but you live for God and you obey Him, it'll be the best decision you've ever made in your life. And you'll be more successful in this life when you don't live for this life. I'll say that again. You'll be more successful in this life when you don't live for this life. You'll be more successful when you live for eternity. Amen. And when you have an eternal perspective. See, we always live in view of eternity. Everything we do. We live in view of eternity. Eternity never ends, guys. It keeps going and going and going, right? Eternity never ends. So it's constant. It's continuous. And we can have eternal life with God. Eternal life with God. And so Paul is debating with himself. He's saying that heaven is a whole lot better. And you immediately go to God when you pass away. I want to share a personal testimony of mine. I was talking to the Lord the other day. And I used to have this fear of what's on the other side. What's on the other side. And the Lord said, look, you trust me. You go to church every Sunday. You go to church every Sunday. You go to church on Wednesday. You pray. You actually talk to me, dude. You talk to me. You have conversations with me. And you can't trust me enough to take care of you when you pass from this life into that life? Why don't you trust me? You trust me for salvation? You trust me with your spirit here on earth? You trust me for everything else, but you don't trust me for some of the, for what is going to happen after you pass? Really opened my perspective. And then it showed me how much faith I really had in God. I didn't have a whole lot of faith in God because I doubted that. I did. But through the Word of God and through the Scriptures, if you trust God enough to be saved, then you need to trust God for what's on the other side. Because what's on the other side is a whole lot better than what's on this earth. The greatest mansion, the greatest pleasure, the greatest whatever, it is nothing. There's nothing here on earth that is compared to what heaven has in store for us. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. And every believer, and all of us believers here this morning, we should be ready to say, Lord, I'm ready. Lord, I'm ready to see you. Listen, the greatest pleasure on earth is of no comparison to the least pleasure in heaven. God also created us not only not to be lost, not only did he create us to be with him, but he created us to come back with him. But first, I want to answer the question of what we'll be doing in heaven. There are some scriptures that say we'll be eating in heaven. Do y'all know that? We'll be eating. There'll be fellowshipping. Revelation chapter 4, we'll also be doing this. Revelation chapter 4. John said this, and after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here. And I will show you things which must take place after this. Okay, he said, come up here. So he's in heaven. Okay, go to verse 10. And the 24 elders that represents the saints of God, right, the church of God, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him. We're going to be worshiping God. Amen. And worship him who lives forever and ever, eternity. And cast their crowns before the throne. Now they cast their crowns. Who gets crowns, guys? Who gets crowns? We do. Believers, Christians, we get crowns. We get rewards. And we act like we're going to keep them. But we're not. Every reward we get, we're going to cast it before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So quit living like you're going to live here forever. Quit living like you're going to live. You're not going to live in this. Listen, you are going to go into eternity. That's why it's important to get it right with God now. Get it right with God. Verse 11. And you are worthy. This is what they're saying. This is what they're saying. And you know what? We won't get tired of worshiping God. We won't get tired. Right? We won't have to. Man, I think I'm going to sit down. I got to sit down. Can you imagine that? Just picture that in your mind. You're not, no fatigue. You don't get tired. Could you imagine? No bad breath. Right? All of this stuff. Can you imagine how glorious heaven will be? But a lot of times we tend to live for the now. We sometimes we do walk by sight and not by faith. The things which we see now, it's temporal. It's temporary. What we don't see is eternal. And that's what the Bible teaches us. We've got to live for eternity. And we're going to be casting. And he says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." You were created for a purpose. You were created for a plan. And God has a plan for you here on earth. And we are to worship him and to do everything in view of eternity. I've got some questions here. Do you view your marriage in light of eternity? Do you take care of your children, your family? Do you look at your career, your job, all these things in view of eternity? Do you always live in view of eternity, or do you always live for the now? Because I'm here to tell you, when it comes to the end of your life, it doesn't matter what you own, it doesn't matter what you possess, it'll have no bearing for your spiritual walk with God. No bearing at all. And we've all heard this saying, you've never seen a hearse pull a U-Haul, right? Right? I'm telling you guys, all this stuff is just stuff. It's stuff. And I see people fight over stuff. And they get angry, and I see families fight over stuff. Stuff that has temporal value, that has no eternal value. And they fight over these things, and they don't even live in view of eternity, of what's really important, because we could be selfish. But we've got to ask God, "Lord, don't let us be selfish and be obsessed with stuff that has no eternal value. Lord, help us. Please help us with that. Let us always live in view of eternity." Always live in view of eternity. And I don't know about y'all, but for us believers, we should be very excited about where we're going. I'm very excited about where we're going. As I said before, we'll laugh. We'll eat in heaven. We'll laugh. We'll fellowship. The Bible says that we, for the Lord himself, 1 Thessalonians 4, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the air. And so shall we ever be with" who? "The Lord." And then he says this, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Listen, we'll recognize each other in heaven. We will. Because if you can't recognize each other, then how would that be comforting? Amen, church. How would that be comfortable? We can recognize each other. Listen, I can't give you all the minute details of what it's like over there, but I can tell you one thing. We can trust God for what he has for us on the other side. We can trust God. And our fleshly nature doesn't like to talk about these things. We just don't want to talk about it. But listen, when you live in view of eternity, you can live with joy and you can live with peace. Because you know what is to come. We'll recognize each other. Jude 14, we're coming back with him. I just want to prove that point here by scripture. Now Enoch, he actually didn't see death. He was raptured up. He was caught up with the Lord. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, saying, "Also behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints." Hallelujah. And those people that's passed away, our loved ones has passed away, those people that's been with the Lord, when he gets ready to come back again, guess who's coming back with him? The saints of God. Now, when it says 10,000s of his saints, that's a Hebrew expression of an untold number. Right? And I hear people say, "Well, I don't know if there's going to be many people make it to heaven." Well, I don't know. I don't know about this, guys. There's going to be a lot of people in heaven. "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints." I think there's going to be quite a few Christians, quite a few believers going to come back with him. And you say, "Well, why are we coming back for?" Revelation 21. Why are we coming back for? "Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down." Coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Whew. This is why John said, this is why the word of God teaches, there'll be a new heaven. Not only will there be a new heaven, but there'll be a new earth. And I feel the anointing of God. The hair is standing up on my arms right now. I feel the Holy Ghost. Listen, if you're not saved, if you don't have this joy, if you don't have this peace, and if you got fear and you're afraid, listen, you call on God and ask Him to help you. He'll help you today. He'll see you through. We are not to be afraid. We are supposed to be happy. 2 Peter chapter 3. He says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the earth, the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Next verse. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Listen, when you live in view of eternity, you'll want to have holy conduct in your life. When you have heaven on your mind, you have Jesus on your mind, you'll want to live in holy conduct. Next verse. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Next verse. Nevertheless, we. Who's we? Us. We, according to His what? Promise. And His promise is found in what? In His Word. Glory to God. So we look, according to His promise, for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. That's what we look for. And we look for answers in other things. We look for answers in temporal things. It's unbelievable to me that people will go to a psychic for answers. But we look for a new heaven and a new earth. We look to Jesus. It's unbelievable that people will look at horoscopes to get their answers. Astrology. All these things. Listen, none of that matters, guys. It has no bearing. It's unbelievable to me how we will go to temporal things that we can see instead of trusting God for what He told us in His Word. You can trust God. You can trust God. And when you get ready to leave this walk of life, you can trust Him. You can trust God. God will wipe clean every trace of sin. This is what these verses are saying. God will wipe clean every trace of sin and prepare for us a new heaven and new earth. Listen, He will restore His original plan before Adam and Eve ever sinned. That was His plan. Where we'll walk with God in the cool of the day. Praise the Lord. We will walk with God. A minister said this. He said, hearts on earth say in the course of a joyful experience, I don't want this ever to end. But it does. But the hearts in heaven say, I want this to go on forever. And it will. And it will. There can be no better news than this. And I hear people say, listen. They say, listen, don't say if, they say, if God wants me to be saved, He'll just save me. If God wants me to, He'll just save me. No, you got to make that choice, guys. You've got to respond to God by faith. Listen, God saves those who want to be saved. And if you want to be saved this morning, and if you want to have this assurance and this peace and not live in fear, you can have this. You can have this assurance. You can trust God. You can trust His Word. If you've been afraid of the afterlife, or if you've been afraid of what's on the other side, then you need to believe this Word. You need to believe this Word this morning. What does God say in His Word? Listen, go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 through 18. Everybody say love. Love. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. What is the day of judgment? What is this day of judgment? Well, when we stand before God, right? So when I'm standing before God, God assures me in His Word, through the Apostle John, that I can be perfected with His love. And when I stand before Him on judgment day, look here, I can have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. I'm full of His righteousness now, and I'll be full of His righteousness when I get to heaven. But if I focus on fear, go to the next verse. Look here, there is no fear. There's no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Now, I don't know. I just feel the Spirit telling me this. There's some of you this morning, you've been tormented on what's on the other side. You don't know what's going to happen. You're tormented. You're afraid. Listen, if you're a believer, you don't need to be tormented. Don't be tormented what's on the other. Listen, you need to have the hope and the assurance that God gave you through. Did we not read the Word this morning? Do we not have this assurance this morning? Is it this God's Word? Listen, if you focus on God's love, and you understand that His love saved you, and when you accept Him by faith, you can stand before God. You can stand before God because of Jesus, not because of your works, not because of your deeds, not because of what you've done, but you can stand before God the Father because of the Son, and you can have boldness. Well, how do you get this boldness? I'm glad you asked that question. How do you get this boldness? How? I just don't get it. Pastor Sam, how in the world can you receive this love? You just accept it. God, you say you love me, so I'm going to believe it. You love me? Okay, I believe it. What kind of love is it? It's unconditional. It's not based on what you do or don't do. It's based on who He is. He can't help it. That's who He is, guys. And if you focus on His love for you, you won't have no fear of going to the other side. You'll have no fear. We call it eternal life for a reason. You with me, church? We call it eternal life for a reason. Listen, God never meant for you to be tormented. To be thinking about that. God never meant for you to live in fear. God wants you to live in joy. God wants you to have peace in your life. Eternal life. Everybody say eternal life. So what do we need to do now, preacher? Right? What do we need to do now? Well, you need to forgive those you haven't forgave. Right? And you keep putting it off and you keep putting it off, keep putting it off. You need to call today. Today. You need to call them. Say, you know what? There's some things between us and we got to get this worked out. I want to be reconciled today. I want this. We can't just keep arguing. Right? We can't just keep fussing. We can't just keep bringing up the past. 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. You're not meant to carry that kind of burden, guys. Walk in love. Look at your neighbor and say, walk in love. Look at your neighbor and say, you better love me. You better love me. If you're a believer in Christ, guess what? Guess what? You've been perfected in love. You've been perfected in love. And let me tell you something else. Jesus said in John 11, verse 25 through 26, He says, I am the resurrection. He is resurrection. And He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, he will. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? He that believes in me, he will never, ever die. Never die. Oh, death. Where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Death is swallowed up in victory. And yes, yes, this earth even groans for the establishment of the new heaven and new earth, right? The earth even groans, the Bible says in Romans 8. And we groan within our tent, our earthly tent, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5. We groan. There is a certain burden, but it's our spirit man wants to get back to God. Wants to go to God. Wants to go to God. And I'm here to tell you this morning, you need to trust in God. I'm going to give an altar call this morning for those of you. If you have fear in your life, if you come up to the altar this morning, God will save you. You may be a believer. Listen, you may be a believer and you may still have some of this fear in your life. God will get rid of it. Did you know it's possible to be a Christian and still be afraid? Amen, church. To be fearful, listen, God can help you with that. And if you come up here this morning, I'll pray with you. I'll pray with you. If you're not saved, make it right with God. Why do you put off what can be done today? Don't put off what can be done today. Maybe it's somebody you need to forgive. Maybe it's a wrong you need to make right. Whatever it is, don't put it off. Obey God. Do what God's calling you to do. Always live in view of eternity. always live in view of eternity. Let's all stand. If you're living in fear this morning, if you're living in fear and you're having a difficult time with this,